Okay, good morning everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Shachianu v'kima v'vigyanu l'zman hazeh. After all these months, Baruch Hashem, we are on Zoom. So I can see some of you. You can see me. We will be able to address questions and comments in chats. It'll be a more interactive, I hope, and personal feel and a better learning experience for all of you, even though Baruch Hashem, we have been continuing our learning all these months. So we thank our sponsor of this year for continuing to perpetuate the learning of Torah and inspiring us all in our preparation for Shabbos, observance and love for Shabbos, and like we spoke about last week, seeing Shabbos out. We had, I think, was a very interesting shiur last time about how Shabbos, the mitzvos and Shabbos can affect the whole world. So I'm on page 27 of the Sefer. I forgot to send the pages, but I'm just going to read the piece and, of course, bring you added insights. So last time we spoke about, we were speaking about Motzi Shabbos. On Motzi Shabbos, you would think we would be crying because Shabbos is leaving. But really, we have a meal. We have a Malava Malka. We accompany the queen, and we're happy on Motzi Shabbos. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes, the same is true with Shabbos. When it arrives, we happily welcome Shabbos. And when it leaves, we joyfully escort it out. When a tzaddik comes to the city, we welcome the tzaddik. And when the tzaddik leaves the city, we accompany the tzaddik out. So when Shabbos arrives, we happily welcome it. When it leaves, we joyfully escort Shabbos out because of all the wonderful blessings that we received. Shabbos was with us for 24 hours, even a little bit more really than 24 hours. And now we're in a different state than we were on Erev Shabbos. You should have a chizuk. You should have an aliyah for a kedusha. You should feel different when Shabbos leaves than when Shabbos began. Rav Pinkus says we're in a different state now than we were on Erev Shabbos. We are enriched. The joy of Motzei Shabbos may even surpass Erev Shabbos. We might ask, what exactly do we expect Shabbos to give us? What kind of gifts does Shabbos leave behind? Why do we look forward to Shabbos? What are the gifts of Shabbos? What does she leave for us? The gifts of the other holidays are clear, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Thanks to Rosh Hashanah, we grow in our Yiras Shemayim, our awe, our reverence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Thanks to Sukkos, we grow in our Simcha. But what is the special blessing that Shabbos leaves behind? So because he brings up Rosh Hashanah and Sukkos and all the other Yomim Tovim and Shabbos, what is each Yom Tov? What is each Moed? Rav Shamshon Feher says a Moed is an appointed time to meet with God. That's what the definition of a Moed is. What do all these special days bring us? So I just read earlier this week, I'm quoting from a different Sefer of Rav Pinkus. This is from Moadei Hashanah, Exile and Consolation, the 3 weeks until Shabbat Av. And in this Sefer, so I'm quoting Rav Pinkus from a different Sefer, he also speaks about the different kolchos of the different time periods on the Jewish calendar year. Rav Pinkus writes, I was fortunate enough, I'm quoting from Moadei Hashanah, Exile and Consolation. I was fortunate enough in my lifetime, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, to hear talks, to have heard talks from the Gedolei Musar, such as Rav Chatzka Levenstein, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Zatzal, many others. Many times they said something that sounded strange until I understood later what it meant and what they were referring to. So the Gedolei Musar would often emphasize in their talks, today's topic is, quote, the foundation of the whole Torah. The next week, when they would speak on a completely different topic, they would say again, this topic is the foundation of the whole Torah. So I heard them speak. And I constantly saw what they were speaking about. It was the foundation of the whole Torah. I was puzzled. What is the true foundation on which the whole Torah stands? If that shear is the foundation of Torah and that topic is the foundation, then is this the foundation of Torah? When they would speak about Pesach, and last time we quoted from the Haggadahs, we spoke about Dayenu actually, they would emphasize everything depends on Pesach. Not on Shavuos, not on Sukkos, not Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, only Pesach. This holiday is the root and beginning of everything. Pesach sets all life in order. Whoever doesn't do the avoda of Pesach has lost out on spiritual growth for the entire year. And then when Shavuos would come, they would say everything depends on Shavuos, the time of Matan Torah. Where would we be without Matan Torah? And they would say same by Rosh Hashanah. And they would say the same by Sukkos. And they would say the same by Shmini Atzeres. They would always say the current holiday is the foundation of everything. So what is it? Why am I bringing this piece to you from this other sefer that deals with exile and consolation for the 3 weeks? Because what we just read in Rav Shimshon Pinkus Shabbos Kodesh is that thanks to Rosh Hashanah we grow in our Yerushalayim. Thanks to Sukkos we grow in our Simcha. So what about Shabbos? So Rav Pinkus is saying in our sefer that every Yom Tov brings us a different attribute or aspect potential for growth in our Avodas Hashem, which reminds me of what I read earlier in the week, that every Yom Tov, every Moed, every appointed time to meet with God is the most important. One, someone asked me, says Rav Pinchas, what's the foundation that underlies everything? So I answered, he says, by citing the human body as an analogy. If we would study how the human body works, and we ask which organ is the main part of the human organism, one possible answer is the brain. It's the thought center of the entire nervous system. It's where all man's thoughts and desires are centered, and the whole body is controlled by the brain. So we can't live without a brain. On the other hand, says Rav Pinchas, it can't be overemphasized how important the veins and the arteries are. After all, Hadam hu anefesh, the blood is the life-giving soul. Without blood, without circulation, the circulatory system, vascular system, life is impossible. A person also cannot exist without bones. A person without a skeletal structure cannot live. And surely a person cannot live without a heart. So what's the most important, says Rav Pinchas? Is the brain the most important? Is the blood the most important? Are the bones the most important? Wait a minute, what if your heart? What about your heart? Hashem created the world that each aspect is vital and affects everything. The same is true with Judaism. We have to understand all aspects and realize each holiday on its own, each moed, is the foundation of everything. He uses that in an introduction to a chapter where he talks about everything depends on Tisha B'Av. He says how important Tisha B'Av is. Judaism without Tisha B'Av, he says, is like cognac without alcohol. It's just sweet water. It misses the sharpness that is the key component of the taste. So he goes on to talk about how important Tisha B'Av is, one of the foundational elements of Judaism. But his introduction is very relevant to what we just read in Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh. The gifts of the holidays are clear. Rosh Hashanah brings us Yerushalayim. What would it be without Rosh Hashanah? Sukkos brings us Simcha, the Ahavas Hashem. Where would we be without Sukkos? Where would we be without Pesach? Pesach is the foundation of everything. And so too Shabbos. What is the special blessing, he says, that Shabbos leaves behind? What's more important? They're all equally important. Just like you can't have a person, says Rav Pinchas, without a brain. And you can't have a person without bones. And you can't have a person without blood. And you can't have a person without a heart. Sometimes certain faculties are missing. The person could still live. A person could be blind and live. A person could be hearing impaired and still live. But with certain foundational elements, a person cannot live. So what's Shabbos? Really what we are asking, says Rav Shimshon Pinchas, is what is Shabbos? The answer is Shabbos is the day of Hashem. The word Shabbos comes from the root of Shavisa, which denotes cessation. And we've spoken about that before. Shabbat means to cease. So really when we say the word Shabbos, what we're talking about is cessation. Cessation from what? Cessation from work in this world. Cessation from melachas machshavah. Cessation from being involved in the inanities of this world, inanities. On Shabbos, everything in the world stops. Shavisa. The world ceases. It ceases. And what remains when the whole world stops? V'niskav Hashem levado bayamahu. Pasuk from Yeshayahu. It was made into a song. V'niskav Hashem levado bayamahu. We remain alone with the Ribono Sha'olam. So I want to quote a beautiful, beautiful piece from Rav Soloveitchik, from Parshas Pinchas. I first prepared this for class 2 weeks ago, but I always prepare more than we get to. And Rav Shimshon Pinchas is speaking about how we feel Erev Shabbos, when we welcome Shabbos in, how we feel Motzei Shabbos, when Shabbos leaves, and the gifts that Shabbos brings us. Right in between the excitement of Erev Shabbos and the Kedusha of Motzei Shabbos, what did Shabbos leave us? What's happening? One of my sisters-in-law this morning who lives out of state, just to say good Shabbos, see where her week was. I said my week was so busy, Baruch Hashem, very, very busy. I'm so happy it's Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. But I said it goes too fast. So what is the Kedusha of Shabbos and how are we supposed to feel and what do we take with us? So we know we feel Erev Shabbos, sometimes hectic but excited. Grateful that Shabbos is coming. Motzei Shabbos we're supposed to feel. Remember we learned the Gemara, I think two classes ago, that you set the table for Motzei Shabbos. Malava Malka. But what about Shabbos itself? And Pinchas says in his Moedei Hashana, every Moed is the most important. They're all foundational. So Sukkos is the most important. Rosh Hashanah is the most important. Unbelievable. Varech Chodesh Av, which means Elul, is not so far away. Shabbos is also the most important. What are the gifts that Shabbos leaves us, Rav Pinchas asks? To answer that, before we continue, Rav Pinchas, I'm going to quote a very powerful piece from Rav Soloveitchik. So when Moshe gave Yehoshua Smicha, actually also something I've been able to do, is screen share, and it's very, very useful. Some of you may have been in previous sharing with me where you've seen me screen share, and it just works very, very well. So when Moshe gave Yehoshua Smicha, okay, In Parshas Pinchas, Moshe's days are numbered. He's about to die. And Moshe asks Hashem not to leave the flock of God bereft. They shouldn't be like sheep without a shepherd. That's exactly what Moshe says. Loti ya adas Hashem kitzon asher ein lahem ro'ed. Do not leave this flock like sheep without a shepherd, because Moshe knows that he's dying. So Hashem says to Moshe, take Yoshua ben Nun, who has the spirit in him, v'samachta es yadcha alav. This is Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Yud Ches in the book of Bamidbar. You should lean your hand upon him. So this is, by the way, where the word smicha comes from. We talk about smicha when a rav gives rabbinic ordination to another person who then becomes a rav. But when we find it in the Torah, it's when Moshe gives Yoshua smicha, which is the leaning of the hand upon Yehoshua. So God tells him, put your hand upon Yehoshua. And you should give some hold to Yehoshua as well. Not just put your hand upon him, hand singular, but you should give hold, glory, splendor, radiance, magnificence to Yehoshua as well. What does Moshe do? Look here. Moshe does what God commanded him to do. He takes Yehoshua, he stands him for a Lazar coin before the assembly. Vayismoch es yadav alav. Vayitzaveyu kasher diber Hashem biyad Moshe. Oh, I just thought of something interesting. So Moshe leans his hands, plural, upon him, and he commands him like God spoke. I think it's interesting. It just say Kasher Diber Hashem El Moshe. It specifically says what I thought, which is interesting, is this finer pasuk in Perek Chav Zayin says Moshe utilizes his hands to transfer the Torah to Yehoshua, so to speak, just like Hashem spoke in the hand of Moshe. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? I never noticed this before. The smicha is transferred via the hand or the hands. This is going to relate to Shabbos. Bear with me. There's a reason I'm going here. Okay? Moshe is about to die. So he says, Hashem, don't leave this flock like sheep without a shepherd. So Hashem says, you're right. Take Yehoshua and put your hand, singular, upon him. V'samach das yadcha alav. And give him smicha. Furthermore, you should give him something else, God said. V'nasata mehorcha alav. You should give him some of your glory, your magnificence, your splendor, your radiance to Yehoshua. So Moshe does that. He rests his hands, plural. He was commanded to give one hand. He rests his hands, plural. And he commands Yehoshua, like Hashem spoke, biyad Moshe. So I was pointing out that I think this is very interesting. It could have just said he commanded him like Hashem spoke to Moshe. He commanded him like Hashem said in the hand of Moshe. So these hands really indicate the transfer of Torah. It's the yad of Moshe that transfers the Torah to Yehoshua. Okay. So Moshe was commanded two different things, to put his hand, singular, upon Yehoshua, one hand, and to give Yehoshua hold. And Moshe put two hands upon Yehoshua. I'm showing you the psukim. You see that? So what's the pshat? How do we understand this? Avetchik is a very powerful piece, and in this piece he's going to be talking about Shabbos. God commanded Moshe, says Rav Salvechik, to lay one hand upon Yehoshua. And yet we see that Moshe laid both hands upon Yehoshua. But Hashem commanded Moshe not only to give smicha, but to bestow some of your majesty, hold, glory, magnificence, splendor upon Yehoshua. This majesty, this hold, was figuratively imparted via Moshe's second hand. So remember, God commanded him to do one hand, v'samachta es yadcha alav, v'nasata mehorcha, and then Moshe understood that he should do two hands. One hand of Salvechik is going to explain, gave Yehoshua the smicha, the Torah, the details, the halacha, the mitzvos. And the other hand gave Yehoshua the hod, the glory, the magnificence of Torah. What's the difference? Or Salvechik is going to explain. There were two mesoros, a dual mesorah that Moshe transferred to Yehoshua. One was the tradition of Torah learning, of lamdos. That was the first hand. V'samachta es yadcha alav. Through that smicha, through that rabbinic ordination, as we translate smicha today, you will teach him lamdos. You will teach him what Masecha Shabbos is. How to learn Masecha Shabbos. You'll teach him the mitzvahs. You'll teach him the halacha. You'll teach him how to paskin. You'll teach him how to interpret Torah. You'll teach him how to apply the law. What's the second mesorah? What's the hold? The experiential. That was given to Yehoshua in the second hand. So when God said, V'samachtas yadcha alav, Moshe understood that's one hand, that's lamdos. How to learn, how to infer, how to analyze, how to read a text, how to paskin halacha. Is the arba minim kosher, is it not kosher? If I drop the drop of milk in my pot of meatballs, is it kosher, is it not kosher? We don't pass this, we ask the Rav. The Rav receives smicha from the Rav before him. What's the shiur of Shmur Matzah? Oh, this is cute. My son just taught me last Motzei Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, he's very makpid on Malava Malka. So but he's really not hungry. He's doing a L'shem Mitzvah. So he was just eating dry matzah. Do you want jam? Do you want cream cheese? Nothing. Plain matzah. Peanut butter, just matzah. So he says, did I eat a kazayah? So I said, I don't know. So he said he was listening to Rav Heschel Schechter Shir the Sunday before, right, Shmua? Online. And Rav Heschel Schechter was talking about Rav Shimon Shkop Zatzal. And Rav Heschel Schechter said, today people think kazayas of matzah is such a big pizza matzah. He says, in those days, okay, I'm calling Rav Heschel Schechter, Samba Rav Shimon Shkop, in those days, five Talmidim, Yeshmua, would eat one matzah, and they would all have a kazayas. So my son, Paskin, he says, look how thick this matzah is. This is a kazayas based on Rav Heschel Schechter talking about Rav Shimon Shkop, the Talmidim, five people would eat one matzah, and that was a kazayas. Today we think it's so big. I'm just telling you as a point of interest, also relates to Lav Malk. I'm not Paskining anything for you. So what does Moshe transfer to Yoshua? On the one hand, he teaches him the lamdas, the halacha, the mitzvahs, the technicalities of the law. On the other hand, he teaches him the hod, or he transfers to him, I should say, the hod. What's the hod that goes with the second hand? The experiential. Says Rav Soloveitchik, quote, one can know the entire Masecha Shabbos and yet still not know what Shabbos is. And I told you there's a reason I'm bringing you this piece. One can know the entire Masecha Shabbos and still not know what Shabbos is. You can know the whole Masecha Shabbos. That's the lamdas. That's the v'samachdas yarcha. But you're missing the hod, the glory, the splendor, the magnificence, the radiance, the experience of Shabbos. Says Rav Soloveitchik, to truly know what Shabbos is, one has to spend time in a Yiddish home. Even in those neighborhoods made up of predominantly religious Jews, today, he says, one can no longer talk about the sanctity of Shabbos. Even in those neighborhoods, says the Rav, made up predominantly of religious Jews, today, one can no longer talk about the sanctity of Shabbos. True, there are Jews in America, says the Rav, who observe Shabbos, but there are no Arab Shabbos Jews. Shmuel, is everything okay in there? Sorry. There are no Arab Shabbos Jews who go to greet Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls. There are many who observe the precepts with their hands, with their feet, with their mouths, but there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of the service of the heart. So they have the aspect of the smicha with one hand, but the hod aspect, which is to live as a Jew, to experience as a Jew, to know the spirit of the law, to imbue the kedusha into your heart, that's missing all too often, says Rav Soloveitchik. We can observe the precepts with our hands, with our feet. You can know how much a kazayas is. You can know what kosher arba minim is with our mouths, but there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of service of the heart. I was raised, says Rav Soloveitchik, in a Chabad town. Sometimes he talks about the town of Koslovich, where he was raised in White Russia as a child. He had a Chabad malamid, who he was very, very influenced by. I was raised in a Chabad town. The population of that town consisted almost exclusively of poor people, workers, tradesmen, particularly peddlers. They used to travel to visit the villages within a 15-mile radius of the town. You cannot imagine, says the Rav, the primitive conditions in which the Russian peasants, he's talking about the Jews, you cannot imagine the primitive conditions in which the Russian peasants lived. At one point, in a different sefer, in a different reminisce, the Rav says about when he was a child, I wanted a bicycle. He says, a bicycle was as far from me as a Chinese warlord is from us. He says, you can't imagine the deprivation and the primitive conditions. The people used to come home every Friday afternoon after spending the week traveling in primitive villages. I watched them come into shul, one by one. Water glistening from their peyos and beards because they had immersed in the mikvah before Shabbos, these peddlers. I still remember the tune with which they started to recite immediately upon entering the shul. The 107th psalm. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. Those redeemed by the Lord shall say. They sang a hymn of gratitude to God. For what? Why were they singing a song? Am I saying it right? H-Y-M-N. Hymn of God. To gratitude. Why? What were they grateful for? They slaved away all week. They were so poor you can't imagine the conditions in which they lived. But now Shabbos came and they came into base classes. And Rav Soloveitchik says, I still recall the tune with which they began to sing. Why were they singing a hymn of gratitude to God? For what? For delivery from captivity. for freeing them from a prison. They would cling to God coming home for Shabbos, though they knew very well that the next day, after nightfall, they would return to those primitive villages surrounding their town. What were they giving thanks for? For Shabbos, for coming home for Shabbos. And even though they knew after Shabbos they had to go back to the drudgery of the work week, they sang thanks to God. To truly understand what Shabbos is, says Rav Soloveitchik, it is insufficient to truly understand what Shabbos is. It is insufficient to merely know the halachos of Shabbos. The halachos are represented in Moshe's hand of lamdos, but the experience, the majesty, the glory, the significance of the radiance of Shabbos is transmitted in that second hand, in the hod. One should experience a chasidus or shtibel for shalosh shuras, says Rav Soloveitchik. Not from far from where our family lived in Warsaw, says later in Warsaw, there was a magister shtibel where I would go occasionally for shalosh shuras. The chasidim would be singing, b'nei hechela, Hashem roi lo echzar. Then again, b'nei hechela, then Hashem roi lo echzar, again. Over and over. And it occurred to me that they weren't singing because they wanted to sing. They were singing because they did not want Shabbos to leave. I remember an encounter in this shtibel as a small child. One of the men was singing most enthusiastically. He was wearing a kapata that was more holes than material. He approached me and he said to me, "Do you recognize me?" I told him I did not. He introduced himself as Yankel the porter. Now, during the week, I knew Yankel the porter. He was very ordinary. He wore shabby clothing. He walked around with a rope. I could not imagine an individual of such regal bearing could be the same Yankel the porter. He says that Yankel the porter, it's from a different sefer where this is brought down, on Shabbos, he looked on during the week, it looked like a piece of furniture with two legs, because when the porter would carry the furniture, they were so bent over from the furniture on their back, all you saw was the furniture with the legs sticking out. And on Shabbos, he says, I didn't recognize him. Yes, the Shabbos kapata had more holes than cloth, but what was it? It was radiance. It was hod. It was glory and magnificence. I could not imagine that an individual of such regal bearing could be the same person. Yet on Shabbos, he wore a kapata and strimel. This is because his soul on Shabbos was not Yankel the porter, by Yankel the prince. So after nightfall, I naively asked him, "Nu, when do we daven Marv?" Shmuel, I've told this story before, my son's smiling, because sometimes I tell this to the kids. "So when do we daven Marv?" He replied, "You miss the weekday so much that you already want to daven Marv. That's wrong with Shabbos." This, says Rav Soloveitchik, is an educational, philosophical problem that weighs heavily upon me. Listen. Educational, philosophical problem that weighs heavily on me. He's about to say, the problem is we can transfer easily the lamdus to the next generation. And today we have the institution of smicha, Baruch Hashem. We have elder rabbanim or educated rabbanim giving smicha to the newer rabbanim, Baruch Hashem. Moshe kibel Torah misinu, Masra liyeshua, Yeshua's came to Nevi'im, all the way down to us. So what is the educational, philosophical problem that troubles Rav Soloveitchik? We can transfer the smicha and the lamdus, but how do you transfer the hod, the glory, the experiential to the next generation? To contemporary Orthodox Jews, says Rav Soloveitchik, the Torah is revealed in intellectual categories, in cold thought, in logic. Especially with today's generation, everything has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, it can't be. Intellectual categories, cold thought, logic. However, to contemporary Judaism, we have not merited being revealed to live in the sensory mode, in the hod aspect of being a Jew, in the hod of Shabbos. We might know the halachos, hopefully, but do we know about living Shabbos? Remember, the Rav began this piece by saying, you could know the whole Masech of Shabbos and still not know what Shabbos is. However, we have not merited to be revealed in the living sensory mode, which causes trembling on the one hand and a gladdening of the heart on the other hand. We recognize Torah as an idea. It's an intellectual idea. But we do not encounter Torah as an unmediated reality that we can taste, see, and feel ta'amu ki tov Hashem. We have to understand and imbibe, yeah, the spirit of Shabbos, the glory of Shabbos, the hod of Shabbos, not the three stars out at Seitzachokavim. What's the earliest time I could daven Maariv? Halachically, it's probably acceptable. But what about the experience of Shabbos? What's so wrong with Shabbos, says Yankel the Porter? You want it to end already? It should already be Motzei Shabbos. You want to move away from the Kedusha? Shabbos is the foundation of the whole body and the whole Am Yisrael. So is Sukkot, so is Pesach, so is Shavuos. Shavuos, says Rav Pinkas, is Tisha B'Av, even though we didn't go through that piece. But Shabbos is the most important. Are we only going through the dry motions of the lamdus of Shabbos? And even that, I'm not so sure. Rachman al-Etzlan, we have to try our best, do our best, learn Ashaydas. But how are we experiencing Shabbos? Says Rav Salvechik, now he talks about Yom Kippur, the same idea in regard to Yom Kippur. I can explain Yom Kippur to my students from an intellect. By the way, Yom Kippur is a Shabbat Shabbaton. Yom Kippur is the Shabbos of all Shabbos. Why? Because it's the Shavisa of all Shavisos. If Shabbat is the root of Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is Shabbat Shabbaton Lashem, and it's the ultimate cessation or Shavisa of withdrawing from this Gashmius world. So Rav Salvechik says, I can explain Yom Kippur to my students from an intellectual standpoint, from the smicha, from the lamdas aspect. There is much I can transmit. I can teach all the halachos of Yom Kippur, and you can memorize everything. You can know how to pascha. What I cannot pass on is the experience that I myself underwent on those days, the Yamim Nevarim. In 1 month, it's Mevarchim Chodesh Elul. The American Jew, says Rav Salvechik, has no awareness of the sublime experience of the sanctity, the kedusha, the hod of Yom Kippur. I want to describe to my students the ta'am of Rosh Hashanah, the taste. I want to describe to my students the ta'am of Yom Kippur that once existed in Europe. And I cannot, exclamation mark. I would have to bring them, for them to experience the hod, I would have to bring them to the house where I was raised. I would have to show them how Reb Chaim, his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker Zatzal. If you want to know what the hod of the mitzvahs are, I would have to show them how Reb Chaim said vidui on Yom Kippur. Va'ata tzaddik, he was gasping for breath. Va'anachnu hirshanu, gasping for breath. I just heard Rabbi Zev Lev say something interesting. I just told my kids this the other night. Sorry. My son made a little joke because I've been quoting Rabbi Zev Lev a lot. So my kids make a little chizuk of me because Baruch Hashem, I enjoy Rabbi Zev Lev. Not in a bad way. So he just said, who's Rabbi Zev Lev? As if he never heard him before because I've been quoting him a lot. Okay. So Rabbi Zev Lev said, very funny, Shmuel. Yom Kippur, you go into Beis Knesset, and the people are singing, Asham, Nu Bagan, Nu Gazal, Nu Dibarni Dofi, Achei Chachatan V'Fenecha, V'Al Kulam, Elo Kai Sicho, Slachlan, Nu Mechalan, Nu Kabar, and we're singing. So you take someone who doesn't know anything about Yehados, they walk into the room, and what are you people singing about? Something wonderful happened? So we say, no, we're singing. We sinned, we transgressed, we were traitors, we spoke slander, we're singing. The person thinks you're crazy, you're singing. You're terrible people. You're singing about your sins? You're singing about your misdeeds? Rabbi Zev Lev said, why are we singing? Because we understand that as a human being, as a Jew, as an Eved Hashem, we have so much potential to rectify our sins. We're singing because of hope for the future, because we know Hashem will cleanse us and give us another chance, a clean slate. We're singing because the future can be better, and we're hopeful for that better future. Salvechik says, you want to know what the hod of Yom Kippur is? You want to know what the hod of Shabbos is? You need to meet Yankel the Porter, who didn't want to daven Maariv at the earliest man. What's wrong with Shabbos? You need it to be weekday. You need to meet Rav Chaim Brisker and go to his house. You need to see Rav Chaim Brisker saying vidui on Yom Kippur, gasping for breath. In the shul, in the synagogue, the echo of the Amen that followed the Shachianu blessing after Kol Nidre. There is no way I can impart this, says Rav Salvechik. this aspect of Yahadus, Nasata Mehorcha Alav, has to be lived. It cannot be taught. You can know the whole Masechah Shabbos, he says, and you don't know what Shabbos is. Yahushua, so what does this have to do with both aspects? How did Moshe transmit this aspect of Torah to Yahushua? Yahushua not only received the Torah from Moshe, Yahushua learned by observing Moshe how to live Yiddishkeit. Because his attendant, Mishar, so Yahushua ben Nun, Na'ar, lo yamush mipi ha'ohel. We are told in Parshas Kitisa that Yahushua ben Nun never departed from Moshe's tent. He was Misharso, he was his attendant. Yahushua never left Moshe's side. He saw how Moshe davened mincha. He saw how he ate. He saw how he benched. He saw how Moshe, quote, accepted Shabbos. He watched Moshe's video on Erev Yom Kippur. Therefore, Yahushua merited both Mesoros. He merited to receive the Mesorah of the mind, in the one hand that God said to put upon when you confer smicha upon him. But he also merited the Mesorah of the heart, the experiential, the hod. Moshe didn't need to teach Yahushua this. Yahushua learned it through observation, through kinging to Talmidei Chachamim. Hevei misabik ba'afer ragleim, say Chazal in Pirkei Avos. We should cling to the dust of their feet. There's no way, says Rav Soloveitchik, for me to teach my students what Shabbos means. For that, he says, you have to go to a Yiddish home. Go to the Chassidish Shtibel in Warsaw, where they sang B'nei Hechela. And you know the hod of Shabbos. I can teach them all the halachos and all the lamdos, but I cannot teach the experience of a Jew who is in love with God. Because Yehoshua bin Nun Na'ar Mishar Solo Yamush Mepia Oha, he was zoche to merit both aspects. Two hands, both Mesoros. The Mesoros of the mind and that of the heart. And although Elazar, he says, Elazar Cohen, Aaron's son, was a great lamdan, only Yehoshua could transmit Torah to the next generation. In fact, that's exactly what Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, u'misar leYehoshua, veYehoshua leZakenu. It was Yehoshua who knew how to live as a Jew, how to feel as a Jew, how to love as a Jew, how to experience the hod. And therefore, he was chosen as the next teacher. So when will we sing? When do we daven Marv? You've missed the weekday so much, said Yankel the porter, whose kapata was more holes than cloth, that you wanted already to be Motzei Shabbos. To understand Shabbos, it's insufficient to merely know the halachos. You should experience a chassidus or shtibah for Shabbos. To truly know what Shabbos is, one has to spend time in a Yiddish home. So it's a very weighty task. What does that mean for us? As parents, as grandparents, we have a responsibility to ensure that our children receive the proper education in terms of what you can and cannot do on Shabbos. It's a frightening thought that we have such an achrayus to transmit not only the halacha of Shabbos, but the kedusha of the hod of experiencing Shabbos. And today in the society in which we live, it's very difficult. It's not an excuse. I'm not making excuses. It's very difficult. We have to try and transmit the glory of Shabbos. Do we already want Shabbos to be over? We can't go back to the home of Rav Chaim Brisker Zatzal. We haven't figured out how to go back in time. And we can't be Yankel the porter, but we have to be in touch with Jews today who understand what Shabbos is, who know what hod of Yehadus is, who knows what it means to give smicha with both hands, the lamdus and the experiential. And it's a big task. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. We're fighting against a very debased, very immoral, very unsanctified world and society. Everything we believe in, they do not believe in. That is not an exaggeration. And it's very hard. to transmit to the next door this idea of Hod and this idea of Kedusha. You can memorize all the halachos of Shabbos that a person needs to know. I'm not saying you shouldn't know those, chas v'shalom. God forbid. It's very hard to transmit the feeling of Shabbos. Hashem should give us a siyata. We still have a few minutes. But Hashem should give us a siyata d'shmaya, divine assistance, to number one, understand on our own what Hod means. To be able to somehow transmit to the next generation, like Moshe transmitted to Yoshua, the feeling, the passion, the heart of Shabbos. Let's go back inside the Sefer. Don't forget, no one asked any questions yet, so I hope everything's clear. I'm just going to reiterate. We have the chat feature. You can use it if you would like. Okay. So going back to Rav Shimshon Pinchas, the last thing we were talking about is, and I think we answered so beautifully from Rav Soloveitchik, the last question that Rav Pinchas asked is, what is Shabbos? Excuse me. We know what Rosh Hashanah is, a day of Yer Shamayim and Din. We know what Sukkos is, Simcha and Ahavas Hashem. What's the blessing of Shabbos? So I think that Rav Soloveitchik's piece gives us such a beautiful insight into what the blessing of Shabbos is. On Shabbos, says Rav Pinchas, which is from the word Shavisa, cessation, Shabbat, everything stops. It's only us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are three foundations, says Rav Pinchas, of Yiddishkeit. Three foundations, faith, Amuna, love, Ahava, and fear, Yira. Three foundations of Yiddishkeit. Faith, Amuna, love, Ahava, fear, Yira. These Torah ordained mitzvos are Amunas Hashem, Ahavas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem. Interestingly, he says, they correspond, I don't know if I ever saw this before, to our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shimshon Pinchas says that Amunas Hashem, Ahavas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem correspond to our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Avram, it's clear, corresponds to him, it's clear, I think. He doesn't say which is which. Generally, it will be put in respective order. I think Avram corresponds to Amunas Hashem. Why? Because Avram was the founder and the father of the Ummi Israelis. He recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam in a world full of idol worshippers. It was a polytheistic world. And Abram came along and he recognized that there is one God. He brought us monotheism. He brought us Ayahadis. So in regard to Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, he goes in order of the patriarch. So I think Yitzchak is Ahavas Hashem and Yaakov is Yiras Hashem. I would have thought it would be the opposite. I'm sort of asking the ladies a question. I thought it would be the opposite because Yitzchak, Pachad Yitzchak, who was the Akedah, shouldn't he be Yiras Hashem? And Yaakov, Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, who dedicated his life to Torah, shouldn't he be Ahavas Hashem? I'm asking you a question, ladies. Maybe you don't understand my question. It's possible. Not so clear. Rav Pinchas puts the patriarchs and these three mitzvos in a certain order. He says there's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's Amunas Hashem, Ahavas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem. So if you would make a list, Ahavas Hashem. Oh, okay. So first of all, my comment was clear. Thank you. And you're very clear. Just don't know the answer. Okay. Baruch Hashem. So what I'm saying is the way that Rav Shimshon Pinchas writes in the Sefer, the patriarchs and these three mitzvos, it seems, because it's respective order, he writes Amunas Hashem, faith, belief, Ahavas Hashem, love, Yiras Hashem, revere, reverence, awe, correspond to the forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, which means, the way it's written, Amuna would be Avram, which I think makes sense to everybody, because Avram discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam. The way he writes that Ahava would be Yitzchak and Yira would be Yaakov. Right, so me too. So I'm saying I always connected Yitzchak, who is Pachad Yitzchak. Okay, Yitzchak is the Akedah. In order for a person, should never know, to submit to such an experience, they must have an all-encompassing Yerushamayim, Yerush Hashem. Another in Yaakov, Esav was an Ish Sadeh, Ish Tzayid, Ish Yodea Tzayid. The beginning of Parshas told us, Perchav Hei. Yaakov was the Ishtam, Yosheva Olim. Rashi says he sat in the yeshivas of Shem V'Ever. That's all-encompassing love for God. So I'm not sure because Rav Pinchas doesn't explain it. So I'm just giving my pshat into which patriarch corresponds to which degree of ahava, yira, and amuna. I think I could totally be wrong. That Avram is amuna, Yitzchak is yira, and Yaakov is ahava. In any event, there are three patriarchs and these three mitzvot. Yitzchak was love when he saw Rivka. So you have to be very careful with that, by the way. Okay, this isn't the point of Shir, but that's, we have to amend that statement a little bit. Okay, because it's important. The reason I think that that's so important, because there is a well-known Shidduch crisis. COVID pandemic has not helped. I don't know who this person is, so no one should take my counter comments, Khalida, in a disrespectful fashion. Oh, okay, hi. It's not exactly true. We have to be very careful with that. Okay, so I'm going off into a little tangent now because I want to make sure to address that comment. Oh, so for people listening online, the comment was, Yitzchak was ahava. I just want to make sure to quote the comment properly. Yitzchak was love when he saw Rivka. So I have to be very careful with that because it's not really true. This is a vart on how we expound the Torah. Parachov Dalin and Parshas Chayisara is one of the longest chapters, which is someone, an older single, got married as older woman. She told me that it should be chizuk for all the singles because it's 60 seven psukim long and there's so much repetition and so many details. It might take a long time, but the Sheikh Bezos Hashem will come. But it's not true. Sorry, Yoni, it's not true. We have to be very careful. Ayeitze Yitzchak Vasuach Basada Lifnos Arev. Yitzchak went out, Rashi and Unkos Bosei, to daven in the field towards evening. Yitzchak was misakin mincha. Vayisa Einav, he lifts his eyes, Vayar, Vihine Gmalim Baim. He sees camels coming. He doesn't see her, he sees camels. Rivka lifts her eyes and she sees him. By the way, this is a compliment. Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Domo Zatzal, points out that the first thing Yitzchak sees is the camels because he's Tsanua. When you see Esav meeting Yaakov, the first thing Esav sees is the woman coming. Okay, so Yitzchak is Tsanua and he lifts his eyes and he sees that the master is coming, the Eved is coming with camels. Rivka lifts her eyes, she sees Yitzchak. She falls from upon her camel and she says to the Eved, who we know is Eliezer, who's never named, who is this man who's going in the field to meet us? And the Eved says, that is my master, and she covers herself. And the Eved tells Yitzchak everything that happened. Vayivieha Yitzchak ha'ohela Sara imo. Yitzchak brings her to the tent of Sarah, his mother. Such a beautiful Rashi, Tiberatius 24:67, Chav Dalid, Samach Zayin, Rashi says, when he brings her to the tent, the brachos of Sarah return to the tent. Ner daluk me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos, bracha mitzui, be'isa and anan kasher al ha'ohel. So Yitzchak brings her to the tent of Sarah's mother, and he takes Rivka, and she is a wife, and he loves her. To be very careful, we have to make sure that when we learn the Torah, we learn properly. Love comes way after. It came after the shidduch. It came after the details. It came after he brings her to his mother's tent, after the brachos returns, after she's his wife. He loves her. It's a totally different talking about raising our children in such a perverse, tumadic, immoral society. It's a big misnomer. It's a big misconception. And anyone in a healthy marriage, I'm sure, could relate to this very strongly. There's no way in a healthy marriage, we should all be so zocha, that you love your spouse today the way you loved, and I'm putting that in quotes, your spouse when you were dating. It comes after experiences together. It comes after she is in the tent. It comes after the bracha be'isa. Comes after the anan kasher al ohel. Comes after near daluk me'erev Shabbos, the erev Shabbos represents shalom bayis. He takes her. He's with her. She's his wife. Only then does he love her. And only then is he comforted after his mother. So I think, I know that was a side tangent. I was not planning to go there at all. But I think it's important, Nakuda, to point out that it is not correct. With my greatest respect to you, Yoni, really, we've been learning together for a very long time. It's not chas v'shalom personal, just we have to correct that. It's not correct. Yitzchak did not love Rivka when he saw her, not at all. Which is why I went on to that tangent, even though it was not related to the shir. It is a little bit related to what we said. You have to transfer the whole Torah children also. the values of being a Jew, not only the details of being a Jew, the Kedusha of Shabbos, not only Borer, how to live as a Jew. Rav Soloveitchik said, you want to know what Shabbos means? You have to go to the home of a Yiddish Jew. A Yiddish Jew. And understand. We daven Marvit the earliest man. I can't wait. What's wrong? Said Yanko the porter. You want to get rid of Shabbos so much? And we ended by saying that the patriarch, and I think we came off with a very important tangent that I hope everyone will internalize, and also the people who listen online. So we ended by saying, next time we will begin, Rav Shimshon Pinkas will discuss these three aspects. Amunas Hashem, we are putting corresponding to Avraham Avinu. Ahavas Hashem, we are corresponding to Yaakov. And finally, Yitzchak corresponds to Yerushamayim. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. We have to daven. First, we should be diving for each other and ourselves, for Siyata Deshmaya, to be able to transfer not only the lamdus of the smicha aspect, but the hod of the other aspect to ourselves, to our descendants as well. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbat.